Good morning and happy Friday to you. This is Cheryl Walker, and today, April 19, 2024, coming to you with the News Gazette. Our first story is Urbana High School Family, a Big Part of Band's 100 Years by Luke Taylor. Urbana, Ken Peters turned down the first three offers to be the Urbana High School Band Director, then accepted the fourth and went on to direct the band for 24 years of its 100-year history. I went and I looked at the band room, and it was an absolute mess, Ken recalls, and he doesn't know what made him change his mind. I suppose in a weak moment I said yes. In the long run, it was a good decision. He went on to teach both his children in their times at UHS, and two of his grandsons are in the band today. One, Ian Peters, was a drum major in the year leading up to the band's 100th anniversary. Former Urbana High School band director Ken Peters stands with his grandsons, Ian Peters, who plays clarinet in the current school band, Thursday at the school. Ian, who is also a hangs in the halls. Ian, who is also a drum major, is featured in the glass mural seen at the left, which hangs in the hallway at the News Gazette. I mean, I apologize. Hangs in the hallway at the school. When Ken accepted the job, he wasn't aware of the band's history. It was founded in 1924, led by Raymond Francis Dorvec, who went on to lead national renowned marching band at the University of Wisconsin. Neil Coles was a director for a year before going on to found Neil A. Coles Music Company, which still sells music education resources today. Graham T. O'Guard, Clarence Sawwill, and other famous in the marching band world all have roots at Urbana High. As he learned about the history, Ken wasn't too overwhelmed about upholding the UHS legacy. My philosophy: you pick the best music you possibly can. Don't do junk. Do the best music you can pick, he said. Treat the students with the most respect and lead them to the highest potential they can do, especially when the time that I'm given, the room I'm given, the budget I'm given. Over his 24 years, Ken worked to transform the program. Updating the band room was an important step, but so was attracting more students to the program, which in turn served an argument to bring in more funding. It wasn't easy. At one point, the district music coordinator decided to redo a Steinway piano that the Urbana High School bought in 1914, which cost around $10,000. There went Ken's budget for the next 4 years. I needed another tuba. Nope, can't get one. I need another euphonium. Nope, can't get one. And kids don't buy tubas, not at high school level, he said. Today, a tuba, which is the same as a euphonium, but also sometimes refers to as a sousaphone, will cost you at least $5,000. When Ken started at UHS, he had about 75 band members. Numbers faltered for a while, falling to 42 members, but by the time he retired in 2001, there were two bands of 65 and 85, two full orchestras, and four choirs. This program is still going strong today, as evidenced by Ken's grandson Ian's love for the UHS band. Ian played clarinet at Holy Cross Middle School too, but was prepared for a rocky transition to public school, especially during the pandemic. Marching band was the first thing to meet before band camp. We met outside, so it was my first time meeting people from Urbana at all, Ian said. It was a great way to get to know people before I came to the school. At that point, school was still completely virtual, so band camp was a rare time Ian was able to see someone in person. The virtual band class was also one of the few that required everyone to interact and have their cameras on. From the start, I really connected to band, Ian said. 4 years later, he attended the Smith Walbridge Summer Drum Major Clinic to prepare to lead the band in his senior year. As a drum major, the main job is to conduct the marching band and lead parades, but they also end up becoming the people to ask if band members need anything. Ian admits, like Ken, who he first became director, most of the kids in the band now don't know much about its history. For that reason, he's looking forward to learning more at the UHS band's 100th anniversary celebration on Saturday. It starts at 7 p.m. at UHS and will feature a concert, alumni speakers from throughout the band's history, and a dedication of the band room. More than anything, though, Ian wants people to know they should give band a try. There's an impression around band kids and band being a weird place, he said. I think it's just a great place for anybody to try out, and it's a really great culture. Out with the old. Employees of Muhammad Landscape bring down the Hen House highway sign Thursday in Muhammad while demolishing a longtime eatery. Eventually, a multi-tenant building will be constructed in its place, with groundbreaking tentatively scheduled for June. Arcola has the only remaining Hen House still in business. Roundtree officially bound for Rantoul. Loss is going to be a felt for years at BTW Elementary, one admirer says. Rantoul, a popular unit for elementary principal, whose future has been the subject of months of speculation, has a new job. At Thursday's night board's meeting, Booker T. Washington STEM Academy principal Jamie Roundtree was approved as Rantoul City Schools Director of Curriculum and Instruction effective July 1st. I've been ingrained in Unit 4 for a long time, Roundtree said Thursday, but there was an instant bond with the leadership here. Roundtree was one of the six candidates to interview earlier this month for the job, a new position in five school elementary. He emerged from what Superintendent Scott Woods described as a very strong pool of candidates for his significant experience in the area elementary curriculum and instruction and significant experience in elementary leadership. Roundtree has been part of the Unit 4 Elementary since 2005, when he was hired as a Southside teacher. He went on to spend 2 years as an assistant principal at Botfield, as a principal at Barksdale, 5 as the district's director of elementary teaching and learning, and 5 as principal at BTW. He becomes the third Unit 4 Elementary principal in the last month to land a new job, with the two others leaving after the school year for Urbana. Carrie Busey's Craig Keir to be the principal at Little Elementary, Barksdale, Jessica Bradford to be director of 116's Director of Curriculum and Student Learning. Roundtree's loss is going to be felt for years in the district's BTW mom, Shauna Den Otter, predicted Thursday night, adding, the entire district has a loss, a visionary, thoughtful, and strong leader. He was exactly who the kids at BTW needed and is there in no place, and there is no replacing him. The truest loss is felt by the kids whose entire trajectory in life has now changed, she said. People might think I'm overstating things or being dramatic, but they created something special and transformative at BTW, a building full of the most amazing and some of the most vulnerable children. I wish him so well in his future, and the families in Rantoul are very lucky. The futures of Roundtree and BTW Assistant Principal Rebecca Ramey prompted a social media speculation, letters to the editor, t-shirt public comment at board meetings, and much love to BTW rallies for much of the school year. Following a frightening incident outside the school last September, police say two groups of adolescent males shot at each other just across the street around 2:50 p.m. on a Thursday, while several BTW students were outside. None were physically harmed, but students and staff reported being terrified by the daylight shooting that involved at least 5 young males, some of whom were wearing masks. At the next school board meeting, several distraught teachers expressed their fear at what happened, some of them openly criticized administrators who failed to show up at the school the day of to offer emotional support. Roundtree was among the BTW group who showed up for the meeting but didn't speak that night. Ramy's spouse, a BTW teacher, did and didn't hold back. Diane Kistler was particularly critical of Superintendent Sheila Boozer when it came her time to speak, saying, in part, I forgive you for blaming our admin team for pushing the wrong button. I forgive you for CCing me on an email tirade that I had no prior connection to and demanding that you not be contacted. I forgive you for gaslighting all of us here tonight instead of seeking to understand and finding a solution. It was a speech It was that speech which months later led to Ramey being told by district leadership that she was being transferred. She alleges in a complaint filed last month with the Illinois Department of Human Rights by Ron Langacker, the Urbana attorney hired to represent both Roundtree and Ramey in employment matters. Unit 4 has vehemently denied the accuracy of the information shared by Mr. Langacker in March 14 News Gazette story about the complaint, but declined to offer specifics out of respect to our employees. In a letter to Boozer, Langacker and the decision to transfer Ramey appeared punitive, retaliatory, given that Ramey was told of it 2 days after he filed the complaint with the state. Roundtree involvement in the case dates back to October, according to Langacker's filing. When an investigation was opened to Ramey's alleged violation of district policy regarding dispensing medication to students without an updated student medical authorization form. After an internal investigation in the matter, Roundtree recommended in a November 19 memo that Ramey be given a written reprimand. Ken Kleber, the district's assistant superintendent for human resources, did not accept Roundtree's recommended discipline and instead gave Ramey a 5-day unpaid suspension, according to the complaint. I believe this punishment was excessive, Roundtree said in a declaration attached to the complaint. He has referred all questions about the matter to Langacker. After Kleber overruled his recommendation for a written reprimand, Roundtree expressed his belief that the severity of Ramey's punishment was because of her sexual orientation and that Unit 4 administration sought to retaliate against Ramey after Ramey's wife, Ms. Kistler, spoke against the district administration at the September 26th meeting. He criticized both the timing of the decision and how Wednesday's meeting ended, saying his client wasn't given the option of allowing her to finish out the school year while simultaneously being told that there is no guarantee of her future employment with the district. While there was never a change in Roundtree's status with the district, according to his attorney, an utterly devastated Ramey was told she'd be transferred to Kenwood Elementary. When or whether that will happen remains unknown. The school board is down to 2 members and a state of disarray itself must sign off on all reassignments, resignations, and terminations, which they typically do in a single vote package with other items. Ramey's reassignment has yet to be included in the HR changes list given to the board. Excuse me. Making friends, memories while watching movies. Julia Pease at Ebert Fest. Champagne is not what film you see, it's who you see it with that makes going to the movies so special. Take me, for example. Kindergarten Cop is still on my top 10 list. Not because of the plot, if even had one. I wouldn't know because I was too busy having my very first smooch with a very cute boy. Now, I'm not sure how many people are even having their first kiss at Eberfest, but the connection moviegoers make at the film fest are just as memorable. Just as Kim Robinson, she's been going to one-of-a-kind events ever since. 1999, when it debuted as Roger Ebert's Overlook Film Festival, Kim has this sunny, fun energy that makes you feel like you have known her forever. It's probably why the festival organizers have picked her to be one of their favorite hosts over the years. Corrections. News Gazette strives to present fair and accurate reporting and to correct any errors as promptly as possible. Corrections and clarifications for all sections run on this page. To report an error, please call 217-351-5252. History. Area history. In 1924, John H. Harrison, publisher of the Danville Commercial News, will address a conference of Big Ten editors at the University of Illinois' on the annual convention of the Western Conference Editorial Association. In 1974, the Department of Geography and University of Illinois site planners have begun projects to determine congestion points for travel on campus as part of the extensive traffic and safety study requested by Chancellor J.W. Pelton. In 2009, a foreclosure complaint has been filed against the owners of the Inman Plaza in downtown Champaign seeking a sale of the property. International History Today's highlight. On April 19, 1993, 51-day siege at the Branch Davidian compound near Waco, Texas, ended as a fire destroyed the structure after federal agents began smashing their way and about 80 people, including 24 children and SEC leader David Koresh, were killed. Then on the same date, 1995, Timothy McVeigh, seeking to strike at the government he blamed for Waco's deaths, destroyed the Alfred P. Murrell Federal Building in Oklahoma City, killing 168. McVeigh was convicted of federal murder charges and executed in 2001. On this date in 1775, the American Revolutionary War began with the battles of Lexington and Concord. In 1865, a funeral was held at the White House for President Abraham Lincoln, assassinated 5 days earlier. His coffin was taken to the U.S. Capitol for a private memorial service in the Rotunda. In 1989, 47 sailors were killed when a gun turret exploded aboard the USS Iowa in the Caribbean. In 2012, Levin Helm, drummer and singer for the band, died in New York City at age of 71. The News Gazette, a daily newspaper owned by Champaign Multimedia, P.O. Box 677, Champaign, Illinois 61824-0677. Paul Barrett, Executive Vice President and Publisher. Jeff Deliso, Editor. Nico Duggan, Managing Editor. Jim Russo, Vice President, News. Due to the size and value of premium editions, there will be up to a $2 surcharge on the date of publication of any premium edition. There will be no more than 6 premium editions per calendar year. Rather than bill subscribers separately for premium editions, we will adjust the length of subscription, which accelerates the expiration date. When you receive these premium editions, USPS 388040, periodicals postage paid in Champaign, Illinois. The News Gazette is published Monday through Saturday, except federal holidays, by Champaign Multimedia Group, 2101 Fox Drive, Champaign, Illinois 61820. Postmaster, send address changes to the News Gazette, P.O. Box 677, Champaign, Illinois 61824-0677. Day book, top of the morning. Something to get you going today, courtesy of staff writer Luke Taylor. Bellying up with on Fridays will spotlight the men and women serving up cold ones and conversation in our neck of the woods. Let us know about your favorite bartender by emailing itaylor@newsgazette.com. After years of both bartending together and living together, Megan Groff and David Hunter couldn't be happier. Who can say that they get up in the morning with their partners to do what you love, both love to do, and it pays the bills? It's a blessing, Groff said. The couple works together to run the day shift at Guido's in downtown Champaign most weekends. Before heading home to their dog, Charlie, they enjoy the reaction they get when they explain how much time they spend together. It's interesting to watch the wheels turn and the look on their face when they picture themselves working and living with their spouse, Hunter said. Hunter got his start bartending during grad school at Legends, which he said was a great experience that keeps him and other former employees coming back for reunions. Groff had a lot of experience working her way up through the restaurant industry, but joked that people are happier when there's booze involved. Both agree that some of the best parts of bartending are meeting people who come in for a drink or a meal. Guido's is perfect for that, with customers from the university, townies, and a nearby hotel creating a diverse clientele to tell Groff and Hunter about everything from pet cougars to airport radar systems. When the pair aren't at the bar, you might see them driving around in their convertible. Charlie comes too, with his special dog eye protection. While Hunter and Groff don't spend every second together, they are around each other most of the day, and they seem to enjoy every second of it. What's their secret? Probably just honest communication, Groff said. We enjoy each other's company, but we don't hold anything back. Daybook, Almanac. There are 256 days left in the year. Notable birthdays, Actor Eleanor Donoghue is 87. Rock musician Alan Price. The Animals is 82. Actor Tim Curry is 78. Pop singer Mark Flo Volman. The Turtles, Flo and Eddie, is 77. Actor Tony Planet is 72. Former tennis player Sue Barker is 68. Motorsports Hall of Fame Al Ustinary Jr. is 62. Actor Tom Wood is 61. Former recording executive Sue Knight is 59. Singer, songwriter Dar Williams is 57. Actor Kim Hawthorne, TV Green Leith, is 56. Ashley Judd is 56. Singer Becca Brimlin is 56. Latin pop singer Luis Miguel is 54. Actor Jennifer Expiato is 52. Actor Jennifer Taylor is 52. Jazz singer Malene Pirox is 50. Actor James Franco is 46. Actor Kate Hudson is 45. Actor Hayden Christian is 43. Actor Viz, 43. Actor comedian Ally Wong is 42. Actor Victoria Yeats is 41. Actor Kellen Coleman is 40. Actor Zach Conroy is 39. Actor Cortland Mead is 37. Retired tennis player Maria Sharapova is 37. NHL forward Patrick Laine is 26. Deaths. Crozer, Mary Ann Crozer, 74, Tolona on Monday. Barbara L. Forner, 86, of Villa Grove on Tuesday. William Hines, 80, of Penfield on Tuesday. Lorenzo Ron McMillan, 60, of Champaign on Tuesday. Ronald Prescott, 90, Champaign on Thursday. Caitlin Rosemary Thomas, 21, Champaign Wednesday. Complete obituaries information. Lotteries. Illinois Lottery. Pick 3 midday 654. Pick 3 evening 610. Pick 4 midday 0867. Pick 4 evenings 9642. Lucky Day Lotto midday 7, 22, 25, 30, 42. Lucky Day Lotto evening 13, 27, 36, 42, 43. Lotto 7, 9, 2, 0, 22, 34, 4, 9. Estimated jackpot is $3.2 million. Thursday's Hoosier Lottery was daily 3, midday, 325. Daily 4, midday, 0844. Estimated lottery jackpot is $10.3 million. Today's Mega Millions estimated jackpot is $178 million. Saturday's Powerball estimated jackpot is $98 million. Need the numbers we didn't have by press time? Contact Illinois Lottery information at 800-252-1775 or illinoislottery.com. Hoosiers Lottery information, 895-LOTTO, hoosierylottery.com. Delivery subscription and classifieds, call 217-351-5266 or go to newsgazette.com/subscribe. Customer service phones, weekdays 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Weekends 7 to 10 a.m. Weekday customer service office hours are 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. News Gazette office, 2101 Fox Drive, Champaign, Illinois, 217-351-5266. Nation and News World. United Nations. U.S. votes vetoes resolution backing full membership for Palestine. By Eva M. Ledber. United Nations, the United States voted a widely backed UN resolution on Thursday that would have paved the way for full United Nations membership for the state of Palestine. The vote in the 15-member Security Council was 12 in favor. The United States was opposed and two abstentions. The resolution would have recommended that the 193-member General Assembly, where there are no votes, approve Palestine becoming the 194th member of the United Nations. Some 140 countries have already recognized the state of Palestine, so its admission would have been approved. This is the second Palestine attempt to become a full member of the United Nations, and it comes as the war in Gaza, now in the seventh month, has put the more than 75-year-old Israeli-Palestinian conflict at the center stage. Before the vote, U.S. Deputy State Department spokesman Bennett Patel said the United States has been very clear consistently that premature actions in New York, even with the best intentions, will not achieve statehood for the Palestinian people. Palestinian membership. needs to be the outcome of the negotiation between Israel and the Palestinians. U.S. Department Ambassador Robert Wood said, "It is something that would flow from the result of the negotiations. Anything that gets in the way makes it more difficult to have these negotiations and doesn't help move forward toward a two-state solution where Israel and Palestine live by side in peace, which we all want," Wood told reporters. Palestine President Mahmoud Abbas first delivered the Palestinian Authority's application for UN membership to then Secretary General Ban Ki-moon in 2011. The initial bid failed. The initial bill failed because the Palestinians didn't get the required minimum support of 9 of the Security Council's 15 members, then went to the General Assembly and by more than a two-thirds majority succeeded in having their status raised, the UN observer to a non-member observer state in November 2012 that opened the door to the Palestinian territories to join to join the UN and other international organizations, including the International Criminal Court. The Palestinians revived their bid for UN membership in early April, backed by the 140 countries that have recognized Palestine as an independent state. Trump hush money trial, day 3, jury seated. 7 panelists quickly picked to join 5 remaining after the day began with 2 surprising dismissals. Several more alternates still needed. New York. A jury of 12 people were seated Thursday in the former President Donald Trump's history-making hush money trial, propelling the proceeding closure to opening statements and the start of the weeks of dramatic testimony. The court quickly turned to selecting alternate jurors. The jury includes a sales professional, a software engineer, a security engineer, an English teacher, a speech therapist, multiple lawyers, an investment banker, and a retired wealth manager. The first ever trial of a former American president will unfold in the middle of this year's race for the White House, ensuring that the legal trouble of the presumptive Republican nominee will be a dominant issue in the contest against demonstrated incumbent Joe Biden. The trial will almost certainly feature inflatable testimony about Trump's personal life before he became president, with allegations that he was falsifying business records in the final days of the 2016 election to suppress stories about his sexual relationships. The jury selection proceeds appeared wobbly earlier in the day when 2 jurors were dismissed, one after expressing doubt about her ability to be fair following disclosure of details about her identity, and the other over concerns that some of his answers in court may have been inaccurate, but lawyers who began the day with only 5 jurors settled on the remaining 7 for the panel in quick succession, along with one alternate, Judge Jane Merkin. He has said his goal is to have 6 alternates. In other developments, prosecutors asked for Trump to be held in contempt over a series of social media posts this week, and the judge barred reporters from identifying jurors' employers after expressing privacy concerns. There is a picture of the former president and his lawyers. Mishap knocks out 911 service in several states. By the Associated Press. Workers installing a light pole in Missouri cut into a fiber line, knocking out 911 services for emergency agencies in Nebraska, Nevada, and South Dakota, and an official with the company that operates the fiber line said Thursday. Problems with 911 in a Texas city along the U.S. border with Mexico were unrelated, officials said, but the widespread outage created concerns about what was causing the problem. For most agencies, it turned out to be the result of simple human error. In Kansas City, Missouri, workers installing a light pole for another company Wednesday cut into a Lumen Technology fiber line. Lumen Global Issues Director Mark Molson said in an email to the Associated Press, "Service was restored within 2.5 hours," he said. There were no reports of 911 outages in Kansas City. Meanwhile, the difficulty some cell phone callers experienced making 911 calls in Del Rio, Texas, were apparently because of an outage involving a cellular carrier, not the city's 911 system. City spokesman Peter Ojeda said Lumen is not a 911 service provider for Texas. Federal officials were looking into the outage. When you call 911, an emergency is vital that calls go through. The FFC already began investigating the 911 multi-state outage that occurred last night to get in the bottom To get to the bottom of the cause and the impact, Federal Communication Commission Chairwoman Jessica Russell said in a statement. And this has been the first part of the News Gazette. Today is April 19th, and I look forward to reading with you again.